Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is unusual, everybody. The season's more or less decided, but we needed to do a podcast. But I'm sitting in a branch of Costa Coffee by the side of a major road, which, to be fair, the place is full of everybody working and having meetings. And I think there might be a job interview going on over there. So, you know, this is not, I'm not the only person doing something unusual in a branch of a popular coffee shop. Right.
So, I once had a discreet meeting with a manager in the South Mimms coffee shop, and he was paranoid about anyone seeing, so we kept moving tables. I don't know where the disguise was going to come. It was, Martin O'Neill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when was that?
He was at Wickham.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
I was out of contract anyway at Wimbledon, so there was no issue of hiding from my perspective. It was weird though that people were recognizing the two of us, so we kept moving tables.
Dear Martin, he's going to be more noticeable if Terry Gibson and Martin O'Neill keep shifting tables.
So here we are, end of the season almost.
Yes. Well, so it is, I mean, sort of whisper this because there's a whole round of games to come Sunday, Monday. There's not an awful lot left to play for. Congratulations to Barca. We sort of knew it was coming, didn't we, after the Clásico? For them, obviously, they wanted to finish it off at Espanyol. They weren't brilliant first half, but Lamine Yamal, Terry, it's a lovely way that was the, in a sense, the championship clinching goal, wasn't it?
And it's obscene that we kind of expect that now from him. I mean, we've seen him score similar goals. This may be the best, you know, in terms of the context of the game, the nature of the goal, what the goal means. But I've not seen him put it right in the top corner like that. And we're talking about one of the best goalkeepers in the league. It's difficult to defend against him. You can be critical of Espanyol. They allow him to drift inside. But there's 3-4 players around him that think they can all get a block. And he just needs that little yard. He's so relaxed when he does it. And he just curls it into the top corner. And I thought Barcelona's second half looked better. They looked sharper. Begin straight from the halftime break, they looked in better nick. Maybe the first half, the recent matches that they've had, the Copa del Rey, the semi-finals of the Champions League, the Clásico in the league, it looked like in the first half it had taken its toll slightly. They weren't as sharp, but they stepped up a gear at the beginning of the second half. By the time the goal came, it wasn't a surprise. But I think it was mainly the second half performance from Barcelona that ensured they got the win. Espanyol, again, could have been 2-0 up. Whether they would have won or not, I don't know. But it Barcelona didn't really get going to the halftime break.
Yeah, and we've praised them plenty this season, but we should, shouldn't we? Because you and I, in common with lots of people, thought that the various complications around their season would be a barrier to them doing well. As it's turned out, they've been, not just have they won the league, but they've been a joy to behold. Yeah. 169 goals in all competitions.
I did check up, I mentioned it in the commentary last night, if that was one of the best. It's one of the best, but not the best. They did get 191 year. And I thought, which lineup was that? And it was pretty much Messi on his own, who got 73. And it was Cesc Fabregas was second top scorer and Alexis Sanchez. So it wasn't the MVP and it wasn't the MSN. And Messi, but I just thought, that can't be right. There's no way Messi got 73.
Was that him, sort of 11-12? Yeah. Yeah.
And they only won the Copa del Rey.
Oh.
That's all they won that year. And in 73, it's impossible, surely not. And then there's other years with 60 in it and 50. You got 50 in La Liga that year. You kind of forget when we set that bar for Lamine Yamal, he's going to be as good as Messi. Not in a million years. No one's going to do that again. No one's going to score 672 goals for Barcelona in, God knows, just over 800 games. And you kind of, it goes to the back of your memory, and someone new comes along and as good as Lamine Yamal is, and we're right to get carried away. I mean, I mentioned it in the commentary, he's a gift to football in so many different aspects, because we needed, after Messi and Ronaldo, we needed the next batch of superstars, and we needed one to, you know, to shine and to inspire kids to grow up to want to be Lamine Yamal. And that's what he's doing at the moment. He's a gift for Barcelona, he's a gift for La Liga, he's a gift for football, because so many games I watch now, they're the same. But as you said, when you watch Barcelona, they're not. They're fun. You know, we're not talking about XG. We're not talking about between the lines and the high press and the low block. And it's talking about individual talent that have been coached in the right way at that football club. And Lamine Yamal is the head and shoulders, the standout, the star. I mean, Rafinha's had an unbelievable season, but he's 28. He's an old man. Lamine Yamal is 17. It's just not... It's there's no logic to what he's doing. It's incredible. And he's... Barcelona, as you say, have been fun to watch. They're a breath of fresh air because, as I say, we get to watch so much football now. And we all do. We've all got our teams we support. We've all got the national teams we support. But we all love to watch a game of football. You know, you look on the fixtures, oh, that's on. What channel's that on? I watched that tonight. And there's a lot of games where you can drift off and they're the same. And, you know, you're lacking that passion because you're not really supporting the team. But there's very few teams around at the moment that you just go, oh, they're on. Watching that tonight or watching that this afternoon, you just know you're watching something different, and that's for the team and the individual players, and it's for the manager, Hansi Flick. It's been an extraordinary start to his reign at Barcelona.
Yeah, and I'm reluctant to go any deeper into it because there's always a danger that you start thinking about how are they going to do next season? Can they win the Champions League next? And all of this kind of stuff. We don't know all of those things yet, do we? And we've got all summer to chat about that. Because I sometimes think, just appreciate what you've got when you've got it. Which, to be fair, referring to your previous point about Messi, I think we did enjoy Messi when we had him. And we did appreciate how good he was. And we cherished watching that. And Ronaldo, don't want to be biased. So...
And Zidane and Iniesta and Xavi and all the others.
They were a better team than this lot currently. I know they won nothing that season, but generally. And then also the treble winning season a couple of years later was also the second half of that season was as good as anything I've ever seen. Like I said, at the end of the Clásico, just, well, thank you. Thank you and well done.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just been brilliant.
Exactly. And we don't support a particular Spanish team. And a lot of people watch La Liga. You know, there are supporters of individual players. We had that with the Messi and Ronaldo era. There are supporters of leagues. Oh, this league isn't as good as this league. And this league is better than that league. But at the end of it, there's so much football to watch. And you get drama in other matches and you get the thrills and spills. But to actually switch on a game of football, anticipating that you're going to see elite footballers playing in a way that they're allowed to express themselves. The coaching of young players at Barcelona has to be key to it. I mean, admittedly, Hansi Flick continuing on from Xavi in terms of playing the young players. We shouldn't forget Xavi did start the careers of some of these young players that Barcelona have. But that's one thing. But it's the manager, he can only work with what he's given. He's not going to just play young players for the fun of it. So there must be something in the coaching at Barcelona that produces this type of player. And that goes back 20 years now, 30 years maybe, you know, that they're producing a particular type of player. And it's, you know, what they're doing there is an example to everyone, to be honest.
Yeah, an example to other big clubs of if you actually put these kids, your best, if you get the best kids and there is a genuine real pathway into the team...
Yeah,
because you need the two things together, don't you? Because you can. Yeah. We've seen other clubs accumulate you would be presumed the best 15, 16, 17 year old, but if there's no pathway into the first team, they don't develop into the players that they could be.
Exactly.
Whereas at Barca, they genuinely do. And there they are in the team winning the league and getting Barca out of this financial hole.
12 players in the squad last night that were in the youth system at Barcelona. We don't hear that from any, there were very few clubs around Europe, let alone in the league.
Of that size. Yeah. I mean, obviously the best clubs do. But again, at same point is there, isn't it? So we'll park Barcelona for now. We'll come back and have a more in-depth conversation about them. We need to chat about Real Madrid again. I mean, the conclusion to this, it was looking like, it was like a bit of a miserable, they had 39 shots in this game. They fell behind to a really well-taken goal, to be fair, by
when he scores it, you're thinking, commentator's got that wrong. That can't be Martin Valiant, a little give and go and a wonderful finish. But it was.
Yeah, and it was super finish. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the worst case scenario for Mallorca because after that, they didn't attempt to attack at all. They nearly got away with a draw. I was impressed with Real Madrid, to be honest. First half, they looked all over the place. But in the second half, when they knew, I was impressed with the older players in the team. I thought Bellingham played well and Mbappe played well in the second half. Modric played well in the second half. And there was an obvious determination for the season not to drift towards the inevitable conclusion of not winning the league, but they put up a fight. And then we have the unusual... Jesus Rieco, I've been saying it along, he's not useless. And I've been flabbergasted by the fact that he's not had more than 10 minutes because of that game against Alaves. When they were 3-0 up, he comes on, in 10 minutes it's 3-2. And he got the blame, the media pinned the blame on him. And Ancelotti refused then to... I mean, he got whistled when he came on the other night. Why? I mean, he's had 10 minutes. And so why are you whistling him? Hmm. And then all of a sudden, he's making a tackle and he's controlling the ball. He's setting off attacks. And I'm thinking, he's not useless. Then he goes forward and flicks on a goal. And the other young centre-half, Akova Ramon, knocks in the last-minute winner, last-kick winner. It literally was the last action of the match. Glad the foul wasn't given. There was no foul. And Real Madrid fought to the very end, and I was impressed with many aspects. Technically, they weren't particularly brilliant, but just the determination and spirit to keep going to the very end to try and pull Barcelona to win, which they ultimately did. But in the first half last night, they could have been 2-0 down. We could have been looking at, oh, Barcelona have now got Athletic Club and Villarreal the last two games. Real Madrid have got Sevilla and Real Sociedad. They'll win both those. A lot of praise, I thought, for Real Madrid in the circumstances.
I like your understandable slip, Terry, that you included Jude Bellingham and the older players.
you're right, actually. More experienced players. I mean, he's probably younger than some of those that are breaking into the squad and into the team. Yeah, but he was one of those. He stood up and Mbappe stood up. There was so many players missing through injury. It was, I was impressed with the more experienced players.
So they play Monday night. So maybe for patrons, we'll have probably a Real Madrid specific chat at some point because there's an awful lot of news. Ancelotti, well, sort of. We've always, all season, everyone's been saying Ancelotti's off to Brazil at some point. And we've all sort of taken it with a little asterisk, a little kind of remains to be seen. Turns out it was true. Xabi Alonso going to the Bernabeu, which again is hardly shocking news. But
is that confirmed yet? Or just human?
I don't know, because he seems to be making transfer decisons, doesn't he?
Housen going there.
So obviously, Dean, so if you don't watch the Premier League, you won't know Dean Housen probably. Or he played for Spain, didn't he, in the last Nations League semi final thing. Looks a terrific player, doesn't he? I mean, boy, they need some defenders and good ones that they're actually going to put in the team.
He does. I mean, Asensio has been a breakthrough season for him. Jacobo Ramon, who came in, who played and scored the other night, looks another good young player. Is Housen going to be any better than him? I don't. That's the issue, isn't it, with Real Madrid?
He's a good ball playing defender. Yeah. He's a classy defender. Yeah,
very tall as well. So defending, I'm not going to suggest for one moment that they don't go out and buy defenders. I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold is there. Housen has come in. And they do need numbers. They do need bodies. So it's going to be interesting, as you said. Xabi Alonso appears to be influencing the transfer market for Real Madrid. I don't believe, and we'll go into this in detail next week, I don't believe Real Madrid are as bad as people are making out. I just think that when you get stripped of a whole defence at the same time for most of the season, that breaks most teams in their quest to win a title. Barcelona have been fortunate. Then you need that little bit of good luck, better training conditions. I don't know. And Barcelona have had injuries, but not to a whole defence, not to a whole. At the moment, they have actually. Last night was an unfamiliar back four. But in general, they haven't had players. They've had the same back four all season. They've had Frankie de Jong was injured, but he came back as Marc Casado got injured. So there's not been a gaping hole in midfield with players playing out of position. The front players pretty much have played all season as well. So you need that bit of good fortune. I think if Real Madrid get that, it's going to be neck and neck again next season.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You don't want to start jumping ahead too far. Like I said about Barca, enjoy it because Real Madrid, it's going to be fascinating next season, isn't it? See what Xabi Alonso wants to do. There's a sort of presumption that he's going to try and turn them into Leverkusen and play, but he's an intelligent bloke, isn't he? So he's going to, you presume he's going to come and think, right, I can't do exactly. This is not the same laboratory that I was working in Germany, so I've got to do things differently. And he knows Real Madrid, so he knows that. The unique pressures. I mean, no one knows them like Ancelotti, but, the unique pressures of being Real Madrid manager, but it's fascinating, isn't it? What's not fascinating, I maintain, Terry, is the rest of the season. So can you make a case that what else is there to play for? Because Betis drew, came from behind against Rayo Vallecano, got a 2-2. But because Villarreal thrashed Leganés 3-0, because Athletic beat Getafe, it's hard to make a case that there's the
The better.
race for fifth anymore now.
Yeah, I don't think there is now.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I think Athletic have qualified. They're definitely in whether they're fourth or fifth. And it does seem like Villarreal are going to get the fifth place. I mean, it's the five clear of Betis with two to go. That'd be a major. I mean, they're playing Real Madrid, Barcelona. I mean, it's not done, but it isn't the race. But we can't heap criticism on Betis. I mean, even in that game last night, they come back from 2-0 down and get a 2-2 draw. Cucho Hernandez, what a goal that was. I mean, you talk about goal probability. When he gets the ball at his feet and he's closed down by one player from behind and one in front, and he twists and turns and gets away and finishes it. Super goal. Betis has still been in good form. Rayo, a good team, in good form. So that's not the worst result in the world. It's just Villarreal kicked on at the right time and seemed to have tied up the at least fifth place now. So that's pretty much done. We had Las Palmas relegated.
Yeah, let's talk about them then. So it just, I mean, what relegated Las Palmas? A series of defeats when it really mattered.
Yeah, exactly. In games where you thought this is the chance, they've got Valencia at home and teams like that, and you're thinking, well, they've got to win. They're running out of games and just kept losing. Which, because they lost, means that Sevilla and Girona, with their wins, are safe. So they can rest easy now. It was bizarre seeing Sevilla celebrating a 1-0 victory over a team that's just going to be relegated and celebrating it. And Las Palmas didn't know they were relegated then, did they? It happened the next night on Wednesday when Alaves won. That confirmed relegation for Las Palmas. But seeing Sevilla celebrate a 1-0 win over a probable relegated team like they'd won the Champions League, it just goes to show what type of season it's been for them.
So just on, quick question about Las Palmas before we move on. Molero, Marmol, who of their players are going on to bigger stuff, and who are they keeping in the Segunda?
That's a good question. I think Molero, I'm not sure he did enough to be bought by a bigger club, to be perfectly honest. Mika Marmol, I think he'd still find a place in La Liga. It depends on how they view it, whether they want to move to another club that's going to be probably in a similar position to Las Palmas. I don't think Mika Mamo is suddenly going to get a move to a European chasing team. So I don't think there'll be many, to be honest. I think if they keep the squad together, they'll be in good shape for next season.
Yeah,
but I don't see too many that are crying out that, oh, he deserves another season in La Liga. Mika Mamo is one of those, and Malero, but then there's load of lone players that have got to leave the club and stuff like that. So it's tough when you get relegated from La Liga into the second. But we do see the similar teams coming back up again.
Yeah. So it looks like Alaves will survive. They got a 1-0 win over Valencia. Bit of a controversial penalty, I thought. It was an untidy bit of work by Mamardashvili, wasn't he? Went and tried to punch the ball and ended up...
There's no penalty there, isn't there?
No.
It's clumsy goalkeeping. He makes a slight error, but there's no foul. There's no penalty. And consequently, that penalty, that decision, it relegates Las Palmas. I mean, it's not the reason they've been relegated, let's be honest. And they probably were going to be relegated anyway, but it just isn't a penalty. Just isn't a foul.
Yeah, it's overreach, isn't it? Well, literally overreach by him, in that, because he basically, he went to punch it, got a tidy bit on it, sort of lost his balance, sort of hit the player. But he didn't, it wasn't one of the ones where, because for years we were saying goalkeepers need to be penalised more, because sometimes they would literally come and total the attacker.
Exactly.
But this wasn't that, was it?
No.
There was a bit of contact once he lost his balance. And
see it on the replay, you think, oh, that's not going to give that. And incredibly, they looked at VAR and did.
Yeah. So, this is not done. Leganés are not down, but they're 4 points behind with two games to play. One of their games is against Valladolid, I think, isn't it? So you might give them the points for that, but they basically need to win them both and have Alaves only collect 1 point. The goal difference probably is going to go Alaves's way, and they drew with each other twice. So it's hard to make a case that there's a relegation battle. So we're left with the race for eighth, because actually it looks like Celta are going to finish seventh, isn't it? So the magnificent race for eighth, which is, there's one of those in the Premier League as well. It's like, hey, race for eighth.
I mean, it was a good win for Celta. I mean, incredibly, I saw the stat, Ralph Sosted played 36. They haven't scored in 18 of those.
Oh, that's miserable, isn't it? No, it was half empty as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's half the fixture. So no surprise to see the scoreline of Real Sociedad 0, Celta 1. And Celta, they've really got the bit between the teeth. They've embraced the challenge for Europe. Rayo have as well, despite the manager not mentioning Europe at all. It was only last weekend he was happy they were safe from relegation. And now you look at them and you think, no, they're eighth. They've got 48 points. They're in the race. So it doesn't look like Real Sociedad are going to be playing European football next season. Valencia probably just dropped off the pace now. They're still in the race, I guess. But again, that's the reason why you look at that decision, that the penalty against Valencia will give them the ump. You know, they at worst, they should have come away with a point there. But they didn't, and move on. I'm trying to look at the other one stand there. Getafe are just limping across the line. They're not safe.
Six consecutive defeats, to the point where I'm wondering... Wondering, you think, right, what's happened there? Have they given up because they were safe and they didn't ever think they were getting into Europe? Or is it because it? Sometimes you think that would be the end of a manager under normal circumstances, six consecutive defeats. You're thinking, right, has he given up? Have they given up? What's happened there? It's sort of gone under the radar a bit.
It seems like some sort of Bermuda Triangle, that game against Atletico Madrid. That was their last win. They beat Atletico Madrid, and Atletico Madrid have barely won a game since then either. And it kind of felt like Atletico Madrid thought that was the end of their season because that was the end of their title hopes. Getafe probably thought, oh, we're safe. We've beaten Atletico Madrid at home. We've got 39 points. We're safe. And as you said, six games later, they haven't picked up another point. Atletico haven't picked up many points either. It's a miserable end to the season at Atletico Madrid. They're in the Club World Cup. I don't know whether that's having any impact on how they're playing, how they're performing at the moment, whether because they knew then the title was done. They weren't catching Real Madrid either. They've lost motivation. Are they cruising through and preparing already for the Club World Cup? So, yeah, that is baffling. Would they get rid of Bordalas? I can't see anyone better for Getafe. I think they would lose their identity clearly. It'd be a different team, different club. And but it's a cause for concern, definitely.
Yeah, and all sometimes you wonder whether it might be him that would go, because I've thought that with Michel all season with Girona. And obviously, when you can't go attacking the guy after what he's done there, but there are times you think maybe it's in your interests to have gone. Exactly. I think the same with Ancelotti at Real Madrid. I don't think it's as much in his interests to go now. There just comes a point sometimes with a manager where you think, been there long enough now, and you wonder, the same message, the same voice, it's time to go sometimes.
Yes, and in Spanish football in particular, I'm looking at Osasuna, Vicente Moreno. They've had their ups and downs this season, but a good win against Atletico Madrid. Burimir got his 20th goal of the season, which is astonishing. Fantastic win for the club. They are now ninth. They've got 48 points. They're in the hunt for the eighth position. And I think he's leaving the club. 1 year contracts. It happens in Spain with managers where they don't get 3 year deals. I hear it all the time. English football, I think, why have they given that manager a 3 year contract? I guess it's to protect themselves if he does well, but 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. They're sacked, another manager comes in. We've got a 3 year contract. You think,
when you were at Fulham and you got, because you didn't survive 3 years, did you, at Fulham? You were, So yeah. What happens with your payoff and your money and all of that?
It had a clause in it, six months.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So they're not really three-year deals.
6 month rolling payoff, which they argue about when they sack you. And you don't get 6 months. That's right. My words. I kind of get it in Spain where the managers they're grateful for the job. It's, a top-flight manager's job in one of the best leagues in Europe. And most of them are content to take a 1 year deal. And Vicente Moreno has done that. And what I understand is that he's leaving.
It's a weird one, though. Because if they win their last couple of games, there's a good chance they'll be in the Conference League.
Yeah.
And then you think, it's a bit of an odd thing to. Wait till the end of the season because it's very much their season's in the balance, isn't it? If they what happens in two games.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a bit of both. I think he's decided to leave as well. He's not content with how the club wants to go forward. What that means, I'm guessing, money to spend, stuff like that. But I did hear Simon Jordan on the radio the other day. So now the longer contracts are there in the Premier League and Championship to protect the clubs if another club wants to come and take their manager. That barely happens. More managers get the sack than choose to leave a club and walk out on a contract. So it is. I think in Spain, it's pretty normal for a manager to get a job and only get a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
Will we see that in England? Probably not, to be honest.
No, but they love throwing money away, basically.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
All those Championship clubs who sack their manager for 20 odd a season and somehow give you a 3 year contract.
Barcelona now at Watford. Where did that come from? So that'd be interesting. I think he's a decent manager, actually, and he was dealt a raw deal with the squad he had this season at the start of the season. Are they better off for sacking him and sacking the next one? No. And they've been relegated, so that'd be... But I don't know how long a manager gets at Watford.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? You must know. You need your agent to negotiate that well for you well, don't you? You can't be... Yeah. Although to be fair, the last couple have been all right, haven't they? Anyway,
I saw someone said the other day that when he'll get the sack in pre-season when they lose their first game against Boreham Wood.
And he comes out and
usually jokes about telling them to rent the place, don't buy anywhere and stuff like that. So luckily the Spanish teams are not like that. I don't think Bordalás will get the sack. Be interesting to see who gets the Osasuna job. Inigo Perez probably was in line for it, but he signed a new deal at Rayo. They'll come up with someone.
Yeah, right. Terry, that was efficient work. Well done. We will be back after. We'll see what happens this weekend. Not a lot will change, but if it does, we'll let you know. And we'll have a good delve into Real Madrid and see what the future and what needs to be done. So thank you for your support, everybody, and we will see you soon.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.